Translation given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home, and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. Purport. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely, one, the dhira, or the one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. Two, one in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi by frustrated sentiment. And three, a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. The idea is that the renounced order of life, after a frustrated life of sentiment in the material world, may be the stepping stone on the path of self-realization. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle alone out of home, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is with him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., in association with pure devotees, and this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he sits in everyone's heart. Nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship him for material gain. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of the first-class human being, as above mentioned. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. So I'll repeat once again. Yasvakat parato veha jata nirveda atmavan hridi kritva harim geha pravrajit sandarottamaha. He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. So obviously continuing with the idea that this what's going on in the obviously in the chapters, Vidura is chastising Dhritarashtra because Dhritarashtra is on the verge of wasting his life, and Vidura is right now actually on the brink of saving him, a real friend, a true well wisher, and obviously to do that he's having to use some cutting words. I remember the last class that I was giving, we talked about how knowledge can be given in the form of a sword, Gyana Asina. So in the same way, this is what Vidura is employing right now. But what's happening now is, as Vidura is chastising Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra is slowly, slowly starting to come to his senses. And so now, with the chastisement, now Vidura is backing up that chastisement with knowledge, with the katva, to make Dhritarashtra realize why this chastisement is coming upon and why he needs to follow his instructions and do what needs to be done. Vidura is showing Dhritarashtra the futility of life. So it seems that obviously, on one hand, Vidura has obviously explained to him that you need to renounce, you need to come out of this place, and this can be done either by oneself or from others, in this case, the other being Vidura himself, of course. And it's interesting that here, he says that is one thing you are acknowledging the falsity and misery of the material world, but at the same time, you also have to depend fully on the personality of Godhead. So there's two aspects to this renunciation that Vidura is talking about. One is recognizing the negativity of the world, but at the same time also, you have to bring in the Krishna conscious component. Otherwise, then it's not true liberation. nowadays in the world of psychology, they have this new term called radical acceptance, where you have to accept the pain of the situation that you're in. But and you know, based on that, you move forward and live with that pain, acknowledge that pain and accept that's part of life. But you know, this kind of acceptance is a temporary acceptance. It will never fully actually actually alleviate us from the miseries of this world. And so what Prabhupada does is, in the purport, he goes on to actually describe what is true renunciation. He talks about the renounced order of life, a sannyasi by frustrated sentiment. This is not sannyasis, obviously, in ISKCON sannyasis, because their motive, their mentality is slightly different. This is about the classical understanding of sannyasi. Then, of course, you've got the sincere devotees of the Lord, right, hearing and chanting, depending on the Lord, wherever they are, whether at home practicing devotional service or whether in the middle of a jungle. So there's there are different qualities of renunciation that one can see here. So we can see that if one's renunciation is based just on accepting the futility, the misery of the world, it's not full. We have example of that in the sixth canto. We have Maharaj Chitraketu. You know, he got dismayed by the state of the world. You know, after so long, he was performing austerities to get a child, and then the child was taken away, getting poisoned by one of his wives. You know, because of jealousy of the main mother of that child. And then after that, you know, he got so dismayed. Narad Muni came to him, explained to him that this is the state of the world you're living in. We know this from Bhagavad Gita, right? This world is a place, dukhalayam ashashvata. It's a place of misery. And so Maharaj Chitraketu, rightfully, he did renounce the world. He did. But it wasn't full, because he didn't actually fully come out of the place. Because in the next life, he came back as the king of the Vidyadhars, you know, traveling around the world. That means there is still some element of attachment left in the world. Same way, of course, His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj talked about this king in his book called Vanity Karma, King Koelet. Again, who's acknowledging the futility of this world. All is vanity. It's all in vain. It's all amounts to nothing. But this is also imperfect renunciation. Okay, you can understand in the Bhagavad Gita there are so many verses that talks about the miseries of the world, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam. Yesterday Antaranga Prabhu talked about the six effects of the body. Last week I remember in a class that we were doing, we were talking about, you know, yehi samsparsa jabogha dukha yonaya evate, that a wise person does not take part in a source of misery. But we have to understand, so that's one aspect. You're acknowledging the cards that you're dealt with in life and using that to then come out of this place, which is good. In one sense, it's good. I'll read a quote here by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj that actually shows that that is actually a good way to actually look at the world. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says, "The Supreme Lord says, I have arranged so much misery, pain, trouble and danger, not to make you suffer, but to teach you that all this misery is unnecessary. So you will search for that happiness which is eternally desirable, the joy that is eternally adorable." So actually, when we experience the misery and pain and suffering in the world, as Dhritarashtra has experienced in abundance here in his life, the desire for renunciation is the right desire to have. We should be questioning, what are we doing here? This is not actually where it's at. This is not where real happiness lies. There has to be something deeper than that. Vidura himself also had that renunciation. Right, but now this is, of course, where you have to add another layer on, which is the Krishna factor. You have to now accept that it's one thing to accept the futility of the world, but we have to go further than that, because that's negative renunciation. Negative renunciation won't last. Right, after a certain point, you want to come back. The state of the living entity, the material world, is going always constantly going for the flickering between bhoga tyaga. You enjoy the world, you get frustrated, then you become tyagi, and then after tyagi, then you want a bit more rasa, so you go into bhoga again. Enjoying, renouncing. That's always happening, whether it's within the life itself or whether it's from one life to another life. Okay? So you have to go more than that. So there is what is called positive renunciation. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Before that, however, there's one important point that Prabhupada also mentions. Well, there's many important points, but one very important point here is that one who desires material benefit by devotional activities, by such devotional activities, can never depend on the Supreme Personality. So, Obviously, when one renounces the world, one has to bring Krishna into the heart to guide them in that path of renunciation, and it should be devoid of any kind of material benefits. Now, of course, we know in the Bhagavad Gita that people come to Krishna for various reasons, right? Chaturvidha bhajante mam, right? And one of the reasons is material gain. So yes, on a lower level of understanding, one does come to Krishna out of material gain, and it's fine, it's good. If you got material gains, at least you're coming to Krishna, that will be in your favor, right? But once you develop in your understanding, you realize that even that is an inferior desire, and ultimately will not help in the long run. And even the material benefits, they will ultimately not give you the happiness that you're looking for. And a classic case of that is if we look at the Mahabharata, we have Duryodhan and Arjun, and they come to Krishna to help them in the war, in the Kurukshetra war. But their requests were a bit different. Krishna says to them that, look, either you can have my material assets, you can have my army, my personal army, the best trained mercenaries in the world, or you can have me, but I'm not even going to help you in the fight. I'm not going to fight myself. I can support you as a charioteer, but that's as far as I can go. But obviously Arjun's mood was that Krishna is most important to me beyond any kind of material considerations, and I want him with me at all times, no matter what. Whereas Duryodhan is basically looking at Krishna for material benefits that, no, you know what? This sounds like a good deal. He's coming into the whole situation with a material calculation, but ultimately it didn't work in his favor. Okay? Because, you know, he obviously lost those. So he materially actually lost, as well as spiritually, obviously he was always pretty compromised, spiritually speaking, anyway. So we can see that worshipping for material benefits is not the way to go. So when one is even renouncing, one has to obviously come unalloyed devotion, right? What's that wonderful verse in the Bhagavatam? Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. No, not that one. Sorry. Save pumsham paro dharma yato bhakti radokshaje ahe tuki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Right, that one has to have unalloyed, unmotivated devotional service to the Lord. And this is actually the right understanding of renunciation, that it's not just negativity, it's about positively connecting with Krishna. In the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a section where Maharaj Parikshit actually asks Sukadeva Goswami, what is the goal of life? So, you know, obviously the Bhagavatam is like, you know, the creme de la creme of, you know, Vedic understanding. So you think it's going to be like one of those deeper answers, like, you know, devotional life and surrender to Krishna. But actually, Sukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Parikshit, it's Prayaschit. Prayaschit meaning atonement of one's sinful activities. That's the goal of life. So therefore, when one is renouncing the ideas that now I'm atoning for my sinful activities, I want to get out of my sinful state that I'm in. I want to get out of the suffering. But then also at the same time, we know in the nectar of devotion that by just renouncing it in itself is not going to get rid of the seeds of the sinful activities. Those sinful activities will still bring you back, right? When you're renouncing and when you're learning and you're doing pious activities, etc., that can get rid of some of the karma that's going to come to you, but it's not going to get rid of the sin, the seeds. The only thing that will completely purify is actually bhakti. Bhakti is the only thing that will completely purify. So when you're renouncing, renunciation has to be in line with Krishna. Okay? To the degree our desires are directed to something other than Krishna, then there's always going to be some level of anxiety. Okay? So, and again, that's why we have that verse, Save Pumsham Parodhama. There has to be unalloyed devotional service. For those, in fact, he says here that the sannyasi, those who renounce the order of life of sannyasi by frustrated sentiment, if you think about it, that's still actually trying to satisfy the ego. You're trying to alleviate your suffering. You do not like the situation in. Let me get out of it. Right? It's actually, in one sense, you're still trying to satisfy yourself. But actually, renunciation is what Antaranga Prabhu was saying yesterday, is doing what is right by Krishna. We are here to be Goshtanandis. We are not here to be bhajananandis. I know, obviously, the other day, you know, there was a class given where, you know, obviously, Gajrima Prabhu mentioned that, obviously, whether you retire to Vrindavan or whether you die on the battlefield, both are good options. That's true. Obviously, at the same time, Prabhupada is mentioning that we are primarily Goshtanandis. and obviously the nice understanding which Suthapa, I was listening to this from the kitchen, so I remember bits of it, that Suthapa was mentioning that actually you can do both in one go. Like Prabhupada, he was in Vrindavan, and at the same time, he was also, preaching to the last moments of his life. So real renunciation, which is what it's talking about here, is that you at all times are serving Krishna, and through that, you get fully purified. Okay? Tesam satat yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoting to serving me with love, I'll give them the understanding by which they can come to me. That's real renunciation. And actually, when you actually are truly renounced in your heart, in your mind, then you won't have that negative or positive aversion to the material world, because a negative aversion to the material world, that frustration to want to get out of this place, is also a form of attachment. It's an inverted form of attachment, right? Anasaktasya visayam yatarham upayunjata nirbanda Krishna sambande yukta vairagyam uchyate. That a person who's rightly situated, he will look at the world around him and see how he can utilize it in Krishna's service. And a perfect example of this is, of course, Vidura. Vidura didn't actually he actually did his duty in his house. He was obviously worshipping the Lord, and he was at home hearing and chanting the Lord's name. He used to talk about the qualities and forms and pastimes with his wife, Sulabha, right? About Krishna's glories and stuff. And what happens? He didn't have to even go out to renounce the world and look for Krishna. Of course, he did do that in the end. But actually, Krishna ended up coming to his house. You know, there's a famous pastime where Krishna actually comes to the core of a kingdom and he sees the impurity in the atmosphere there, even with all the opulence, thinking, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to actually go to Vidura's house. And he went to Vidura's house, and Vidura was away at that time, I think fetching a pail of water or something. And his wife, Sulabha, was in the house. And Sulabha also was so much full of devotion that she started to think she didn't have anything in the house to offer to Krishna except bananas. But in the ecstasy she was experiencing, when you're bewildered because you experience so much ecstasy, she wasn't even actually giving the bananas themselves. She was taking off the skin and throwing away the bananas and giving the skin itself. But because Krishna is obviously looking at the bhav behind it, he accepted with full, love and, kindness and everything like that. So one shows that when you've got Krishna in your heart, you don't even need to actually leave. Krishna will come to you. Okay? And we see that in so many, obviously, wonderful personalities and their pastimes and things like that. And even when you see those devotees who do renounce the world, it's because of a positive nectar experience that they're getting from Krishna. It's like they're doing it out of happiness, not so much of frustration. One thing that Suthapa mentions quite a few times in his classes is how the six Goswamis, they sleep under a different tree every day. But it's not out of renunciation necessarily. It's not out of austerity that, oh yes, just to show how austere I am, I'm going to just go under a different tree. It's because under each tree, they're actually seeing, witnessing different pastimes of the Lord. So it's actually a positive renunciation. It's actually something that's giving them a lot of nectar in the process. So this is one of the aspects that we have to look at, that real renunciation is actually being situated with Krishna and actually leaning on what Krishna wants you to do. The other day in a Suthapa CC class, he mentioned how the Lord acts contradictorily to different devotees, right? And in some cases, like for example, some devotees, he very much pushed the need for renunciation. For other devotees, he told them to stay back. So it's not so much about us renouncing of our own wishes, our own desires, our frustration, what we want to do. It's what Krishna wants us to do. For certain devotees, Krishna may say, no, you stay in this situation right now and practice in this situation, because this will be the best way in which you can satisfy the needs of yourself and the others around you. Because remember, Goshtanandis, so when we're practicing devotional service, it's not just about us, it's about the other people around us. What's going to be good for them? Whereas for other devotees, he'll say, okay, now you need to renounce. Okay, so this is the actual understanding of renunciation. And it's about actually doing something for the mission, especially for Vaishnavas. Because you understand that actual in this age, in Kali Yuga, sannyas in its classical sense is not actually condoned. Okay? It's not suitable for this age. But of course, we have many sannyasis in the movement. Obviously, we have Maharaj right in front of me right now, looking at me. So I have to be careful that I'm saying this in the right way. But within Vaishnav culture, Sannyas means, well, there's a nice verse that kind of corroborates this. Iha yasya hare dasya karma na manasagira nikhila swap yavastasu jivan mukta sa uchite. That one who gives his mind, body, and words, right, in Krishna's seva, he is to be considered liberated in all circumstances. That is the right understanding of sannyas in our Vaishnav culture, right? It's about you giving your mind, body, and words, right, the tridanda, in Krishna's service, as a service to others, to show them the way, right? It's not just to negate this world and just become a hermit and, you know, abandon the world because you know that this world is a rotten place. That's not actually real renunciation as to what Krishna wants from us, and definitely not in this day and age. That's the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself actually renounced. It wasn't because of the whole thing about sannyasi. It's because he knew that what's the need for these people? What's going to tap into them? Okay, let me take sannyas. That way I'll be able to access them more directly than as a grihastha. Okay, so for sannyasis in our movement, they're doing it as a service to others. They do it at the behest of the guru who's a representative of Krishna. They are not just abandoning the world out of frustrated sentiment. And the whole point is that they're giving an offering to the world through their renunciation. They're teaching the world. Krishna Kshetra Maharaj, he once made a nice comment about Prabhupada. He said that Prabhupada is unique amongst the modern day gurus of this world. If you look at most of the gurus that have come and gone, most of them unfortunately have not been very genuine, have not been, you know, authentic. And they make a big, hoo-ha. They'll come in and people see them. You see gurus over the, you know, decades and stuff, big celebrity gurus and things like that. They'll come and, you know, they'll be in the media and they'll get loads and loads of followers. And it becomes about them. It's about me. It's about the cult of the personality, right? In one sense, you're actually defeating the purpose of being a renunciate, if you think about it, right? It's about them. If you look at Prabhupada, by him taking sannyas and being a guru and teaching them around the world, he actually fulfilled the right understanding of a sannyas in this day and age, which is to offer something to the world. Most people in this world know about Hare Krishna. They know the Krishna conscious process. That, ask anyone in most countries around the world, they know Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, right? Even your random people on the streets, you know, they'll say, oh, Hare Krishna's, yeah, we know that. Ask most of them, have you heard of Prabhupada? They haven't. They haven't actually heard of Prabhupada. That's Prabhupada's glory. He came and he left the right contribution, which is people to know the process, not the person. Once you start practicing the process, then people eventually know about Prabhupada in due course of time, right? But most of the gurus, they come in like a flash in the pan, and it's all about that person, and then they go. But you ask anyone, what was that process that that person taught? Most people can't say. They can't say, because they didn't have anything substantial to give. So therefore, a sannyasi, a real renunciate within Krishna consciousness, he does it as a service. He does it at the behest of Krishna, because that's what Krishna wants him to do. And he does it as a service to others, not to abandon the world, but to serve the world. And of course, in certain cases, Krishna might even want you to do it within the household situation as well. Krishna arranged Bhishmadev to also, first-class devotee, someone who always had Krishna in his heart. Krishna actually said to him that, I'm going to put you in a position right now, not as a renunciate, you do your duty within the realm of material affairs, but through that, your glories will be expanded more and more. So it's really Krishna's discretion what he wants you to do in what situation. So we've got 15 minutes left. Any other questions or queries or thoughts?